GoFundMe.com. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're with us this morning. Little flashback for me when I was in high school. I went on a missions trip to a place called Elias Piña. Was the city. It was in the country of Dominican Republic, which shares an island with Haiti. It was a small town that was kind of right on the border of the two, or near the border, I should say, of the two countries. And it was a bit out of the way. It was not really near any of the major cities or tourist areas. And it was really the only time that I've had in my life that I've left the country and had a chance to visit a third world or developing country, one that was very much behind the times and really underdeveloped. Now, a lot has changed over the years, and even if I go back and look at pictures of the place now, I'm like, wow, that's crazy how much different it looks now. But back then, there were a couple of things that really stood out to me during that trip. Two things that I want to share with you this morning. One, you'll hear about a little later, but so the second, or the first one that I'll share with you, is really about the poor state of the people, and particularly the visit that we had to the hospital or the clinic. Now, this was nothing like what we would ever experience in a hospital or clinic here in the United States. When we got there, it was just sort of shocking. I mean, the emergency room, if you would call it that, was basically a cement-walled room with a metal cart. No sheets, no blankets, no anything. Just a metal cart in the middle of the room. And there was a light that was up above. And there were windows, and not glass windows, not even screened windows, but just barred windows to keep people out. But none of the insects or bugs or flies or anything like that would be kept out of this room. The facilities at that time were just something that were incredibly terrible, right? They were horrible. The supplies that they had, or the resources that they had, were incredibly limited. There was one medicine cabinet in the place. It was a small medicine cabinet, and it barely had anything in it. Right, there was not much to work with. So the resources were incredibly scarce. But the biggest issue, or at least one of the bigger issues that was notable about it, was the level of care that you would get if you went there. Now, it wasn't for lack of trying or lack of a desire on the part of the doctors or the staff who were there sometimes. They wanted to do their best, but they weren't trained well. They didn't have the experience or training or knowledge that anyone back here in the United States would have. The level of care was pretty low. And basically, around town, what the clinic was seen as is the place where you would go if you pretty much knew you were going to die. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to go there. Now, for some people, for some people, that's like the only time they'll go to church, is when they know that they're going to die. It kind of opens up our eyes then. But that's not the comparison that I really want to bring to us this morning. You can say what you want about the medical systems, but the bottom line of why I mention this is, as a smaller church, we may not have the greatest facilities in the world. Right? Like, this is a good place. We're blessed with this. It's a blessing. It's also old, and so there's that. It certainly doesn't have all the bells and whistles that maybe lots of other churches have, but, so we may not have the best facilities. We may not run the most programs as a church. Right? We have some, but we can't possibly have a group or a class or a meeting that is going to meet the needs of everyone in a small community like this. We can't possibly handle everything that comes our way. As a smaller church, our resources are a bit more limited than, say, a much larger church. But here's the thing, regardless of those realities, regardless of that circumstance, we can still strive to provide the very best level of care for others that we possibly can. Right? We can be a place that cares about every person that comes through the door. We can do our best to make people feel welcome. We can be a place where people reach out to say hello and try to connect with one another. We can be a place that shows hospitality, that welcomes people into our community and tries to help them feel like this place is their home too. But if we're going to do that, if we possibly would want to get there, then today's big idea has to be true about us. As I've mentioned throughout this Is Us series, we're talking about different things that should mark us as followers of Jesus, things that should be true of us as followers of Jesus personally, but also as a community. And I've said a number of times that some of those things are going to be things that we do really well, and some of those things are going to be things that really challenge us. And I feel like today's big idea is kind of both. It's kind of both. It's something we do fairly well, but we can always do a much, much better job at. And so our big idea for today really is this: love is our best asset. Right? Love is our best asset. Now today we're going to focus on two verses. There's going to be a few others that get pulled into the message. If you want to look it up on your own, it's John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We'll bring them up on the screen for a moment. But if you want to open up there, you can. The Gospel of John 13, 34 through 35. And these are words that are probably pretty familiar to you. This is Jesus talking here, and he says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now this is part of a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples on the night before he went to the cross. And he knew what was about to happen to him. Right? He knew what was coming. People tend to say things that are pretty important when they know they have a limited amount of time. Right? So when you don't have time, much time left, you're going to say what you need to say. So here's what he said once again. Let's hear that really clearly. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now Jesus said here, and John, writing this gospel, has him saying here that this new commandment, this was a new commandment. Now, clarifying, if we look at John's other letters, he clarifies that a little bit, saying, well, it's a new commandment, but it's actually not really a new commandment. It's actually kind of an old one, one we've had from the beginning, to love one another. Right? In fact, Jesus said the greatest of all the commands was to love God and to love others. Like, those two rules or those two commands summed up all of the Old Testament teaching and what the heart of it was. So they were already supposed to love one another. That wasn't new. But what was new was the kind of love that they were supposed to show. It was different from what they had understood love to be up to that point. All right, so we're going to dive into this passage a little bit. The first thing that we see in this passage is that this new kind of love they were supposed to share with one another was a command. All right? Love is a command. Loving others is a command. Now let's think about the gravity of that for just a moment. It's an order from Jesus. Right? He tells us we're supposed to do it, meaning it's not an option. Meaning we need to do it even if we don't feel like it. Meaning if we don't do it, we're disobeying him. That's pretty intense. He was commanding them and us to love one another. So I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, if it's a direct command from Jesus, I should be paying attention. and I should really be doing it. So we should probably give some serious thought to just what that's supposed to look like, how that's supposed to be done. Okay, so the first thing is that loving others is a command. He commands us to do it. Second thing is that love needs to be learned, right? Love needs to be learned. And here's what I mean by that. Jesus said this, "You should love one another as I have loved you." He had been teaching them and showing them exactly what this love was supposed to look like. And he was their model. He was their example. Now, they had learned how to love just by watching him do it. And now they were commanded to put that into practice and love each other in the same way. Love needs to be learned. Now, to clarify what that love was like, when Jesus said they were supposed to love one another, he was referring to an agape love. This agape type of love is a selfless, sacrificial, benevolent kind of love. It's a love that gives to others and gives, even when you're expecting nothing in return. It's a love that gives for the benefit of the other person. It's the kind of love that God has shown towards us. What we tend to call unconditional love. Right? Love without expectations in return. Of course, one of the most famous passages in Scripture elaborates a bit on what agape love is supposed to look like. We hear it at weddings all the time. It's a passage about our love for one another. It's not necessarily intended to be a wedding passage, but it's 1 Corinthians 13, which says this, "Love is patient." That's agape love, is patient and kind. "Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." Love, agape love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love, agape love, never ends. Now, Paul hadn't written this at the time when Jesus gave the command for them to agape love one another, but this is the kind of love Jesus was talking about. So if we want to know what agape love looks like, we can look at Jesus. He's our example. Let's face it, we don't really do this naturally, easily, on our own. We need to learn how to do it right. So, look at Jesus. Now, let's think about some of the ways, just generally, that Jesus showed his love for us. Okay, we're not going to go look at all the stories and the passages, but think about it. When Jesus stepped out of eternity, he gave up everything that he had to be with us. Right? He sacrificed. Jesus humbled himself for our sake when he became like one of us. He cared for every person, even those considered the least in this world. He didn't care that people thought less of him for how he loved the outcasts and the nobodies and the rejects. He didn't let a person's reputation scare him off. He was never too concerned with his own reputation to reach out to those who were in need. He always led with the truth, but he also lived with compassion. Like, he loved with his very life. He laid it down for us even though we didn't deserve it. And he took on the cross for us even though he didn't deserve that. He showed patience and kindness toward us. He still loves us despite our sin, despite our failure. He's never stopped pursuing us, and he's never giving up on us. He always has our best interest at heart. So if that's the kind of love that Jesus has shown toward each one of us, now we're supposed to love others that same way. We're supposed to love others as he loved us. Now, if we're going to learn to love others well, I think there's five things. This is not like the five things. This is my five things for this morning that I want to share with you. Right? And they're related to things that we find in Scripture. And we see them in Jesus' life also in various ways. So a few things about loving others, or maybe more specifically, that we can't do if we're going to love others. So the first thing is this: you can't love without an open mind. You can't love without an open mind. Now, before I get into this, I know that sometimes some people have a perception of what that means. I'm not talking or saying that we need to, as followers of Jesus, accept everyone's way of life and that everyone's viewpoint is valid. Right? There are certainly things in this world that are going to clash with the things that Jesus says we should value as followers of him. But Jesus didn't necessarily call those who already had things figured out to follow him. Right? Think about it. His closest friends, his disciples among them, you had like some fishermen who were like rejects in the religious training world. You had brothers who were volatile toward one another. You had a despised tax collector. Right? Not the kind of people that other teachers were going to pick to be their prized students. But Jesus had an open mind. Right? He didn't write them off like everybody else did. Here's a question. Are there people around you in your life who maybe you've kind of written them off when it comes to them knowing Jesus? Don't count anyone out. Right? Ever. We can't count anyone out. Keep loving, keep pursuing, because you just never know. Love has an open mind. The second thing is this: you can't love without an open heart. You can't love without an open heart. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw those in need or in distress. He healed the sick and the injured. He didn't just hang out with the cool or the prestigious crowd. He reached out to everyone and not just the ones he was comfortable with. I remember a story of a pastor told one time. It was at a conference that I was at a long time ago. And it was a story about his engagement party. He was going to ask his girlfriend to marry him, and they had talked about it. He was fairly certain he was going to get the right answer. You have to be that if you're going to throw a party like this. So he threw this party. He invited all of his friends and his family, and like his parents flew in, and she said yes, so it was all a great party and all of that. And a little later on in the night, he was talking with his dad. He was a pretty wise man. And he said, my dad said, I asked him, like, hey, how do you like the party? Oh, it's good, it's good. What about my friends? He's like, yeah, they're fine. Dad, what do you mean they're fine? Well, you know, all these people here at the party, they're all, like, good-looking people. They're really well-groomed, well-dressed. They're all like young professionals, have a really good standard of living. You notice they drive really nice cars. Basically, they're all people just like you. And he said, I wanted to say, no, they're not. They're not all the same. But then as I sat and thought about that, the reality set in that, yes, they actually were. And this actually was true. He had surrounded himself with all people who were just like him, people he would be comfortable with. Do we do that as well? Right? Do we just surround ourselves with people that we're comfortable being around? Who maybe has God put in your life that as you look at them, you go, man, to love them well, that's going to be a stretch for me. But look, love has an open heart. Love has an open heart. The third thing is you can't love without open eyes. It's more than just keeping our minds and our hearts open to the needs around us. It also means we need to be actively looking for opportunities to do so. Right? And I like to use this analogy. Love should be like an arrow that's in search of a target. Right? We love others. We're looking for someone to show Jesus love to. Jesus often noticed that the other people around him that others paid little attention to. Right? He's in a crowd and a woman touches his robe and is healed and he stops everything to find her. Or little Zacchaeus who is up in a tree. You think lots of people might notice that, but Jesus didn't just walk by. He spotted him there. Or the little children who wanted his attention. Right? Most people would overlook them. His disciples tried to brush them away, and he was like, no, let them come to me. Let them come to me. Jesus saw the people around him because his eyes were open. He had open eyes. And so who around us might we be missing because we're just not paying attention? Who around us may be someone we need to show love to that God has put in our life for that reason, and we're missing it because our eyes aren't open. Love has open eyes. The fourth thing is this. You can't love from a distance. You can't love from a distance. Think about Jesus. He came here to be with us, to show us what this agape love, the love of God, really looked like. He came here. Like he said, if they're ever going to get it, if they're ever going to understand it, I'm going to have to go show them. He needed to get close to us so we could see it. I mean, think about the people who maybe have had the most influence or impact in your life. Sure, there might be some people, you know, some great teacher, preacher, person that you've listened to or you saw one day and they said something that really impacted and changed your life. But I would guess that for most of us, we would start to point to people who invested in our life, who we knew well, who cared for us, who loved us well. Right? They invested time. They invested energy. They put care into our lives. They poured out their life for us. In other words, they got close. They got close. Well, if we want to love people well, we have to get close too. And let others get close to you. It's kind of a two-way thing. So are there people that maybe you're keeping a bit at distance for whatever reason? Right? You can't love well from a distance. So love gets close, right? And the last thing, the fifth thing is this. You can't share what you haven't experienced for yourself. Right? You can't share what you haven't experienced for yourself. Now, if you were to ask me about Glacier National Park or Old Faithful or Mount Rushmore, like I've been to those places. I could tell you about that. Now, my memory's going to be a little fuzzy because I was like 10. So, you know, I'm sure Old Faithful in my mind was way taller than it really is, you know. But I can paint you a pretty good picture if I took the time to do it. I could tell you a little bit about what the Rocky Mountains are like. I've seen them twice, very briefly, but I was in the area. I saw them. I could tell you something about that. I could tell you about the sand dunes in Michigan, that was awesome. I could even tell you about Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke University. That's why I wore the shirt this morning as a prop, right? By the way, Blue Devils number one. Just saying. Basketball. Gotta love them. All right. Anyway, I could tell you about that. You know why? Because I was there. We walked around campus. We saw the buildings. We took pictures. There's nothing going on. I get to walk out on the court and take some pictures. It was kind of weird, actually. I felt like someone should like rush in and drag me out or give me a ticket or something, but no, it was just open. But if I had to tell you about the Grand Canyon, the Statue of Liberty, I'd fail. You know why? I've never been there. I've never seen it. I can't tell you anything about those. Not by experience. I'd be at a loss. I've never experienced it for myself. So it's impossible for me to pass it on like I should be able to. In order to be loving others with the kind of love that Jesus wants us to, we need to be experiencing that for ourselves and receiving it from Him on a regular basis. Because we can't give away what we haven't received or experienced for ourselves. So it's important that we are staying in close relationship with Jesus, spending time in His Word so we can hear from Him and so that it can shape us Let him speak to us that way. Spending time with him in prayer so we can hear his voice to challenge us, to encourage us. There needs to be a relationship that is personal for us, that is growing and developing. And then, like Ephesians 3:18 and 19 says, that we will start to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Right? We need to be experiencing that incredible love of God so it can fill us up. And then guess what? Then we can share it with others. You can't share what you aren't experiencing for yourself. So one last point for today. I mentioned earlier that Jesus commands us to love one another with an agape love. And it's not just a good idea, it's an order. And if we fail to do it, we actually fail to be like Jesus. We're disobeying Jesus. But here's the flip side of that intensity. The positive aspect is the last point. If we do start to love each other, the world around us, we'll start to see it. And it could change the world. Right? Love can change the world. It's almost as if Jesus knew how truly powerful love, this kind of love would be, when he said what verse 35 in our passage says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Right? We love each other like we're supposed to. People will see it. People will take notice. Hopefully they will start to want what we have. Like this whole thing could kind of become contagious. So you want to change the world? Maybe the most important thing you can do is start by loving each other the way Jesus talked about. If we can do that, maybe love can change the world. Because love is our best asset, right? Love is our best asset. If the worship team wants to come up, I'm just going to kind of close a moment with this. Because I mentioned at the beginning that there were two things that really struck me about the trip to the Dominican Republic. And the first was kind of that experience of the medical facilities. But you know what the most significant thing was for me? It was the love of the people there. It was the love of the people there. They were people who did not have much. But they were willing to give you whatever they had, just to show hospitality, just to welcome you, just to show them that you were loved. They would offer you their food or their belongings, and you're like, you know, as someone from America, we're going, no, I really, you eat that, you need that, I don't need that. And they're like, no, here. They love people exceptionally well. Let that be our goal, to make every effort to do the same kind of thing. Because love is, or at least is supposed to be, our best asset. Let's take a moment and pray, and we're going to close with one more song of worship. Father God, there are a lot of thoughts about love. Probably the most important part of it is that we understand how deeply you love us, how you have poured out your love for us. You've demonstrated it in Christ, who gave his life on the cross for our sin, who sacrificed himself for our sake, laid down his life on our behalf to give us love, but to show us what it was supposed to look like. And God, as you have commanded us to love others in that way, in that same fashion, we ask for your help. We ask for you to prompt in our hearts the desire to love people well. We ask for you to give us strength to do it, to be courageous when maybe we're intimidated, we're scared, we're nervous. We just don't feel like we can. Father God, we pray that you be filling us up so that we can give your love away. And God, as we do that, we pray that not only would you build this community into a community of love, a stronger community of love, but that it would be contagious. That others would see the love we have for each other and want in. That others would see the incredible love that you've given us, that we're sharing with others, that we're extending to them, and they would want to know you too. And that as more and more come to know you, that it would change the world. We ask for this in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you help it to start with us in our life, in the people around us, here and outside this church. I want to lift this before you in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.